Welcome back to Profitable Audience 2024. Today, what we're going to do is we're going to talk about our plans for the year, what we're going to be up to, what the goals are, I guess, for this year.
Except for you don't set goals.
I don't set goals, but I set that for you.
Oh, okay.
I do have something. I don't have like monetary goals. I have stuff that I want to work on.
Okay, so you don't, right. You just don't set monetary goals. You do set goals for like getting projects done or starting new things.
Yeah, or just what I want to do. But yeah. I don't have like numbers. I don't associate like I have to finish this at a certain time.
Yeah.
So I'm sure you've thought about this much more than I have because I know you plan like 10 years in advance, like your entire life.
You know what though? This year I haven't as much. I haven't had as much planning and thought going into the new year. However, I do have like global, I feel like I have global goals, which would be, you know, I don't have any financial goals either, though. I kind of got that from you. I will say something that sort of fell in my lap at this end of this year, which has been kind of exciting. And I think I want to pursue more of this is, and I don't know if we've talked about this that much, but as you know, like you and I have the course, but I also have the course with Liz on Amazon Influencer. And we were approached by another online influencer who asked if we could white label, he could white label our course, which yep. Has anyone ever asked that of you? We haven't had a chance to talk about this much.
No, no one's asked me.
Yeah. You're like, nobody wants
ever.
This. Well, so I think probably, and I no one's asked us for Profitable Audience, but I think it's because those courses are like so broad and robust. Like those are massive courses, right? I don't even know how many modules you must have in Profitable Online Store, but we have over 200 in Profitable Audience of lessons and things like that. But the Amazon Influencer course is super targeted. It's 9 modules. I think there's 5 lessons in each module approximately. So it's very succinct and it's literally only about getting to how to be an Amazon influencer and then how to like shoot your revenue up. And right. So we had a guy, Nate McAllister, approach us a couple weeks ago about doing a partnership. And basically he's offering our course as well as like coaching and a group, and he's limiting it to 100 people. So, and by the time you guys are listening to this, this will not be available. So anyway, I was like, well, what are the, like, I couldn't think of any downsides to doing this. And maybe I'm not thinking this through, but do you see any downsides? I mean, I've already done it, so it doesn't.
I don't see any downsides with him because I know him.
Yeah.
And he's a good guy.
Yeah. Yeah, I could see there, I could see there being downsides with just doing it randomly, like someone kind of cold emails you. This is someone that Liz knew personally and you had, you know as well. So it didn't feel like a huge risk. And basically, he's bundling this all together in a package and it's priced at a point where basically we're receiving our full course price for every course that is, every bundle that is sold, which to me is great because a lot of times when you do those bundle deals, you know, where you go in with a bunch of creators, you're getting like a small fraction of what your product normally sells for.
Yeah. No, it's, I think it's a win-win on both sides.
Yeah.
Because I know a lot of what Nate used to teach, or maybe he still does, I don't know, is retail arbitrage.
He still does, yeah.
And online arbitrage. And, you know, that just gets harder and harder every year. So I think having this influencer under his belt is a good thing for him too.
Yeah. And I think he said he was making about $100 a day.
Oh, is he really? Wow.
Yeah. So
nice.
Anyway, so that sort of just opened me up to thinking. So this all kind of just happened in the past 10 days. And I was like, first of all, I was like, I'm really irritated that I did not create courses sooner. Like, because when I look back on, and I think we've done a podcast on this, but when I look back on the course creation with Liz, it was actually not that hard to do. And there were like 2 weeks where we like nose to the grindstone kind of, you know, got everything done. But overall, we put that course together in about 6 weeks and working a couple hours a week until the last 2 weeks when we ended up with like a deadline and we were like, okay, we're going to get this thing out. But overall, probably spent about 40 hours total working on everything in the course, including like the webinars we've done to promote it.
Yeah. So, not bad. That's fast, actually, I think. I think you are not normal.
Well, probably not. However, it does make me think that if it's a very succinct topic and, you know, you're doing like, and there's a lot of things you could do courses about. We've talked about this before. You can easily knock it out in a couple of weeks if you're just like, this is your number one priority.
Yeah, for sure.
So doing this with him and seeing the success, so his cart's still open right now, but like just seeing the initial success, seeing the watching his webinar, which his webinar was actually really, really good and gave me some ideas for our webinars.
Okay.
One of the things that he did at the beginning of the webinar that I thought was really, it just held your attention was that I think the first, like after he did like the intro and talked about what was happening, he started his like presentation with all of the negatives.
Like, interesting.
Yeah. Like you can't really make, the percentages are too small. I don't have any products. This is, you know, it was like he kind of hit all the objections that people have to doing Amazon Influencer. And he addressed them like in the first three slides, which, you know, by the end of those three slides, you're like, oh, I mean, like, I already know it works because I'm doing it. But like, I was like, you know, this would be great for like, even for a profitable online store is like, all these people are like, well, it costs too much money to get started, or I don't have a product idea, or websites are too hard to build. Like, it'd be cool to say like, for people that are like, websites are too hard to build. You're like, that's not a problem because we're actually giving you a theme. We have step-by-step instructions, you know, like we actually do that in the course. Like we do address all the objections, but we never highlight it in our own webinars.
So what's funny is, one of the three versions of webinars that I do, the very first day is the commonly most asked questions, mm-hmm. like the very first day. And I say, hey, I'm going to answer all these questions by today.
Yeah.
And it's the most common ones. Exactly like the ones you specified, actually.
Yeah.
I just didn't realize that was like a tactic. I just kind of did it just to get those questions out of the way because that one is geared towards beginners.
Correct. Yeah.
And that's why I did it that way. Whereas my other two, which perform equally as well, actually, maybe it just attracts a different.
Yeah. It might attract a different group of people.
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, after watching all this, doing this, seeing his sales come in, seeing sales for me come in, and I did absolutely nothing, right? I went to Disney World yesterday while he was giving the webinar.
Yeah.
I was like, I need to look at more like partnerships with people to promote and obviously incentivize. Like he's making money too, right? Like it's not like it's just a win for me. It's a win for both of us. And yeah. Since Liz and I have taken the time to create this content and put together a very well done course, in my opinion, why not start looking for those legitimate people? Because there are scammy people out there that I would not want to associate with, but like, why not do more of these joint ventures basically and make money at Disney? Like,
yeah, I think it's a great idea.
Yeah.
Back when I first launched my class, I used to do a bunch of them.
Yes. Cause that's, and then we teach that, right? Like
yeah.
Partner with other people.
I think I've just gotten lazy over the years. But yeah, well, definitely a great strategy. Yeah.
Well, now that I went to Disney World and made a couple $1,000s, I was like, well, I'm drinking champagne in line to see a Christmas service. Like, so anyway, that was one of the things that I started thinking about this week is like, okay, I need to be more focused on this next year, just looking for those opportunities, sort of doing more networking, you know, and I think a lot of us, right, after like 2020, 2021, we weren't going anywhere, we weren't at conferences, like a lot of that networking that you and I like had such a priority, right, back in, like I think about how many conferences you and I went to in like 2017, 2018, like we were always, like we saw each other like 10 times a year.
Yes.
You're like, those were the bad days.
Well, you know, I was thinking, I think my life has changed too.
Yes.
Because my kids are older now.
Yeah.
And they have a lot more stuff. So yeah. I don't feel like I can travel as much as I used to.
And my kids are older now, so I can travel more, right?
Right.
Like I only have one kid really left that's, I mean, she makes up for, it's like having seven with having her. But yeah, I feel like I have a little more flexibility in that when she's the only one that like can't drive, you know, but I also have other kids that can drive, right? So then there's like, it helps me out. So I do feel like I need to, like 2024 for me is going to be a lot more about the networking, the finding people to do things like this with, because at the end of the day, you and I both will say that like our relationships that we've made with people have really helped our businesses grow. And we've helped lots of other people's businesses grow too. It's a two-way street. But I think with COVID and everything else, like that just sort of fell away because it was, well, it was hard, right? It was, and it's like Zoom calls and stuff, they're okay, but it's not the same.
Yeah, I used to have endless podcast guests.
Yeah. You used to have like a 4-month queue of like people.
I mean, I still do, but you know, my policy, I don't have anyone on who I never met or whatever. And back in the day, that was really easy to do. But now, yeah, I don't get out as much. So it's been a little harder.
Yeah.
But I like that resolution. Let me know which events that you go to. I know for sure I want to hit like a VidCon one day.
Yes, I do too.
Since YouTube is such a bigger part of my life now. That I would like to go and see how, you know, like the experts do it. The people with like tens of millions of subscribers.
Yes. Well, apparently you got to be like Mr. Beast and try to live in a coffin for a week or something. So, yeah. So that would be my resolution. Number one is just better networking, more targeted networking, and really trying to find the people that obviously I provide a benefit for them, but they also can provide a benefit for, you know, like how can we work with other people to help both of our businesses grow?
Yeah. So one thing that I'm going to do this year, and I know Jen's going to listen to this. She's probably going to go crazy, but I want to go into Bumblebee more.
I see Jen call right now. Yeah. She's listening and calling a locksmith to change the code on the door.
Well, you know how like, when someone's head down on something, sometimes it helps to just bring someone in from the outside to look and see, you know, what changes can be made and that sort of thing. So I know this is going to drive Jen crazy. In fact, when she went to Korea with my daughter on a little vacation, she came back and I had done some stuff.
I remember that. I remember you telling me that you were doing it while she was gone. And I was like, you want to die? Like,
yes, but it was a net positive.
It was,
I think. And now that we have this printer, which has been doing really well, and I've been going in every day, actually, just because there's bugs with everything whenever you launch something new. I think it has the potential to generate a lot of revenue next year.
Okay.
And so it'll involve training someone up to manage the printer and all that stuff. And just looking for like little inefficiencies that I can write a little bit of code to. That's the thing you like to make fun of me.
I feel like we need a buzzer every time you say write a little bit of code. I get, eh.
Well, I'll give you an example. Like inventory still continues to be a problem. Mm-hmm. I think not because that there isn't a process, but just over the holidays, there's just not enough time to count stuff.
Yes. Yeah.
You know, and now that we're printing on stuff and we're just pulling out of inventory to print on it, that inventory needs to be reconciled into, you know, because we're printing on existing stuff. So it gets a little hairy. So anyway, that's my resolution. I'm going to go in and be more active in the day to day.
Yeah.
Let's hope that I'm still married at the end of next
hopefully,
year.
Hopefully your resolution for 2025 is not find a new wife. You'll be in big, big trouble. No, I think that's good. And I do think I think that this is one of those things where this is a story from years ago. So a long time ago, I worked, you know, with Cox Media and savings.com, and we put together a curriculum that helps people save money. And this was like in, you know, the 2011, I think 2012, 13, like people were still really, you know, it's kind of like now where groceries are like crazy expensive and stuff like that. So we put together this whole curriculum on, you know, how to save money. And we were teaching classes around the country and we were teaching other people how to teach the classes, right? So it was this whole program that they were trying to develop. And Aaron Chase from $5 Dinners had done the bulk of the work on the curriculum. And, you know, Aaron, if there's someone who knows about saving money on groceries, it's Aaron, you know. And so she had put this whole thing together and it was like nearing the final proof. And somehow I got my hands on it and Andrea got her hands on it to go through it. And we went through and tore it apart. Like, this needs to be here. This needs to be that. Like, we made all these changes, right? And I will say that probably some of those changes were good and legitimate, but like the way we went about it was completely wrong. Erin lost. It was like the only time Erin's ever been angry with me. And she was furious. And what I realized is it's really good to have someone come in with another perspective, but that person needs to come in with the perspective of, you've worked really, really hard and I've done nothing. And, you know, you can't just be like, this is everything that needs to be changed because this is terrible, which is kind of what we did. And not on purpose. It was just really, really poor, poor wording on my part for sure. So that was my big learning moment in like the 2013 year.
Sorry. So what does this have to do with my situation?
So when you go in, remember how hard Jen has worked to keep that company running for.
Oh, yes, yes, yes.
Yes. How many years? Yes. While you've played Frisbee and sat at home and interviewed famous people, you know, she's over there pricking her fingers on the embroidery machine. Just remember that.
She does not do any sewing anymore. Come on.
Remember who's doing the heavy lifting when you make your suggestions for improvements.
Yeah. I mean, you know, we all were brought up differently. So, you know, I used to run a group over at my last company. And it's just different skill sets, different points of views and that sort of thing. So,
and I do think it's good for people to have someone else take a look at, you know, an outside. You're not really an outsider, but someone who's not in the day to day.
Yeah, not as much. Sometimes it's actually so much more comfortable now in the new office. Actually, I enjoy going in.
Yeah. Well, because you have air conditioning. Yeah.
You know, the other amenities, yeah. we let them turn up the AC now.
Okay, my next goal for the next year is sort of similar to what you were talking about is, you know, I finally hired a video editor borrowed a video editor from Liz. And, you know, he's getting my videos edited and things like that. So to me, that was my big hurdle for making video for the past like year or two. It's just like I don't have the bandwidth to edit. And now with him doing it, I realized I'm like, okay, now I can really start cranking out videos because he's always like, he's full time for us. So, you know, there's probably no limit to the amount of videos that, I could send him at this point. And so that's really one of my focuses for next year is now that I've sort of removed the biggest hurdle, I need to really focus on cranking out those videos, taking all the video footage that I have. I have a ton of footage that is just sort of sitting on our drives and stuff that haven't been used. So that's my big, like, this needs to be organized. I need to get better processes with him. Like, we have a process set up, but like, I need to figure out the best process of like, how am I prioritizing what I give to him? Right. Cause he can only get through what he gets through. So like, what do I give him first? What takes priority? Things like that. So that's a big one for me for next year, for sure.
Yeah, kind of along those same lines. I'm back in the shorts game.
Okay.
So I actually just recorded a bunch that I just kind of threw over that just need to be edited. So I have like a nice buffer for next year. And I'm going to try to post once per day. I tried your method that you suggested. Mm-hmm. Record a YouTube video and then just write the shorts right after and just record it all in one blow. Because originally I was thinking I should record it separately with my phone inverted, but now I'm just recording it horizontal and then just cutting from the same thing. Because otherwise it's like one extra step, which I'm not good at one extra step type of things.
I don't think anybody is. Yeah. I think that's there's an extra step, it keeps people from even doing it.
Yeah. So the goal is, five shorts, not every day. So Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday shorts. Gotcha. That will also go on. I don't know if I should post them on Instagram. Would you unfollow me if I started posting my cheesy little shorts on Instagram?
No, because they would be posted as reels, right?
They're hosted as reels, yeah.
Yeah, you don't have to put reels in your main feed either.
Oh, that's true, actually.
You know, you can just post them and you don't have to post them to the main page. So people still see them.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, that's a good policy. Because my Instagram is more personal. Like I post about like family yeah. stuff and whatnot. Yeah. And then the hope is that those reels will, my overarching goal for like the next 5 years is to get the gold plaque. I know it sounds silly, but I want that stupid thing.
So I think for both of us, video is probably still a huge priority.
I want to say it should be like the main priority.
Yeah.
For everybody who's doing content, at least. Yeah. And okay, so mine, since we're talking about this, so for Bumblebee, I would like to have some sort of social media strategy for a change. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to actually sit down over the holidays and just think about it. I don't want to be the one doing it, but we do have like another employee now for Bumblebee that she's answering calls, but we don't actually get that many calls. So yeah. It shouldn't be that much of a hurdle to have her also manage social media since she's already doing the correspondence. Mm-hmm. And so I just need to come up with a systematized way for what she posts and that sort of thing. But not because we're on Instagram shops and Facebook shops. Mm-hmm. May as well get some business from that.
Yeah. And I feel like that, I don't think that's for everybody, but I think for the niche that you're in with Bumblebee, it does make sense.
Yeah. And I want to try TikTok shops just because I've been getting lots of questions about it. Mm-hmm. And so maybe I'll try that for like 3 months. Mm-hmm. And just see how it goes. I think I'll have to be the one doing that, unfortunately. We'll see how it goes.
Probably. Yeah.
Right? An Asian dude hawking hankies, is that going to work, Tony? I don't know.
It might. I mean, Paul Ivanovsky, they got their big break when he was selling dresses.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, it works.
I don't think
it's
a huge commitment to just go live every now and then.
No.
Maybe once a week.
I don't think so.
Yeah.
I mean, it clearly works.
And I just met someone who was introduced to me by our mutual friend, Kim Meckwood. She actually has 6 million TikTok followers, mm-hmm. and she has an e-commerce store, and she's been using TikTok Shop. And she was actually on Shark Tank also. That's how Kim met her.
Interesting.
So I'm going to have her on the pod at some point, get some pointers. And I actually just recently met the person that's in charge of TikTok Shop over at TikTok.
Oh, nice.
So hopefully I can get some pointers straight from the source also.
Yes, that's probably the best place to get the pointers.
And yeah, exactly. And give it a go. Who knows? I mean, you know, that's what it's all about. Like, it's not something I really want to do.
Yeah.
But it's the only way to learn it is to actually do it. And then I can add another module to the class.
Yeah, for sure. So one of the things that... This is like your head down and so you don't think about it until all of a sudden you're like, oh, this is why haven't I been doing this? So as you know, and as our listeners know, I do have several email marketing clients. And for my main client, I've probably written 400 emails, like content-based emails in the past 2.5 years. So there is a giant repository of content in the emails, right? And
you never used to use the word repository.
You.
Yeah.
You're the only one. I've learned so many words from you.
Go on. Sorry.
Mostly just a little bit of code. That's the main one. And it hit me over. So when I was working on Black Friday stuff, what I usually do and what I always did, you know, what I do for the blog is I like what performed before, like what historically are people interested in? Like you start looking at old data to try to figure out what you should do moving forward, like make sure you don't do the things that bombed. And as I was starting to look at things, I'm like, some of this content is really, really good. You know, like pat myself on the back. I'm like, this is like well-written stuff here. And what I realized is because email and because I'm pretty much a stickler and I've always been for like culling the list, you know, if you're not opening emails for 6 months and you've never made a purchase, like you're gone, you know, there's no point. There is a decent amount of turnover with these lists, right? Of people who come and go. And I was like, why am I not reusing these emails, right? They're evergreen content. You know, it's not, this isn't like sales stuff or anything like that. So what I started doing in the past like 3 weeks is like starting to create like a database of emails that are specifically, we call them product call outs. So basically we focus on a product, we talk about all the benefits, we, you know, we hit all the objections, and they're like well-written content-based emails. A lot of times they happen to go with a sale, right? Because we're wanting to like draw attention to it. But sometimes they're just regular emails that go out as like educational pieces. And I was like, why am I not reusing these and sending them to the people that either one, didn't open them a year ago, or two, weren't on the list? And we're talking about like sometimes 100,000 people that haven't received this that are now on the list. And I'm like, this is like, why was I not doing this before? Like, these emails are basically 95% written, right? All I need to do is go in, make sure that there's no like date specific content in there. There's no like sale verbiage if there's not a sale, things like that. But I, the other day, rewrote like 35 emails in a day because they were like mostly done. And now there's like, I literally have content scheduled out till February, right? And we're, it's right now, it's the beginning of December as we're recording this.
I thought you were going to go in a completely different direction.
Oh, no. So anyway.
You know what I was thinking as you were talking?
Oh, no.
You have this gigantic database. So why not sell people access to it?
Oh.
I don't know. That was my first
that's
thought.
That's not, that, I mean, that's, yeah.
Kind of like where Jake is, you know, Jake, our friend from Creator yes. Hooks, he's analyzed all these thumbnails and titles to see what goes viral.
Yes.
And he's now selling access to this database of all his analysis.
So you're ruining one of my goals with this little side note.
But, darn. Sorry.
Anyway,
okay, go on.
But so one of the things that I want to get better at in 2024 is finding those high performing pieces of content across all like my own stuff, other people's stuff, and then reusing that to the, because the amount of people that, the amount of turnover is crazy, right? The amount of people that, it's just like social media, the amount of people that don't see your stuff is high. Even in, even if you have a great, and we have a great engaged email list, right? There's still people that don't see stuff. So if you've been sending emails for 2 to 3 years, I promise you an email you sent 2 years ago, 60% of your list has not seen it, at least, maybe higher. And when I look at an email, I'm like, wow, this email performed. It sold, you know, we had 200 orders off this one email and the average order value was high. And, you know, you start looking at all this criteria. It just becomes very clear that there's no reason that this stuff shouldn't be repurposed. And so one, to find that, but then two, sort of create like a database of that content just so it's easily searchable, because right now we only like have databases like per month, like I pull the stuff each month, right, and we look at it that way, but it's overall it's harder to like look at the global picture from the way I have processed the data so far. So yeah, that's one of my goals for next year, is just because then we can send more content out that's educational and not promotional that still converts people all the time. So yeah, makes my job easier, but still makes other, you know, makes the consumer, you're giving them great information for free, right? And they're getting something. And if they choose to make a purchase, great too.
Yep. I guess one of my other things for this year is to cut back on stuff. What's so funny?
How much less can you do?
What? Ouch. I feel like I have a lot on my plate.
Oh my gosh, I can't.
You don't think so?
I can't.
Okay,
no.
You know, here's the thing. This is what I was thinking the other day. There were points this year in 2023 where like I need to have like a day free at least in a week. Mm-hmm. And because like when something comes up, like you always need time to like move forward with mm-hmm. stuff. Whereas if you're just treading water and getting through the week and it's occupying all of your time, then you'll never really get ahead. You're just kind of, you know, meeting the status quo. Mm-hmm. So I would like to get more buffer back. And maybe I just feel that way.
I can't
way
take
because,
you seriously.
You know, the first half of the year was maybe it's because I had a book launch. Yes. Yeah.
What's a real goal? That's dumb.
That's not a real goal.
I'm just kidding. I'm
going
just kidding.
Through and chopping what isn't, I don't know.
I've been
telling you that for like the last couple months, right?
I know, but I feel like you don't really do a whole lot.
What do you mean I don't do a whole lot?
You literally will like, I can't believe we're recording this. I know. Sorry, everyone. I feel like you're like, it's Tuesday. I'm going to work from 8 to 9:15 and then I'm going to play Ultimate Frisbee and then I'm going to play in bed the rest of the day. No, you know I always
put in a solid 4 hours in the morning. And then my afternoons are shot.
Everybody listening to you is cringing. I put in a solid 4 hours.
Every morning of focused work where I don't talk to anyone, nothing.
Yes, but
I don't even talk to you.
I know. That's fine. I'm busy getting stuff done too. But think about this. Like you just said, I can't. I'm dying. You just said I put in a solid 4 hours, but you still need a full day off. So you're basically saying
I need a full day to think and plan.
I put in 16 hours, and that's too much. Is that your second book? The 16-hour work week?
The problem is with you is you have 7 kids and you just have no free time. I have problems handling 2. I don't even know how you do 7. just you know, helping out with volleyball. Like I need to help them with their volleyball. I need to help them with their classwork, drive, go to tournaments.
Yeah, it's a lot.
I can't imagine multiplying that by 3. Like I would die.
Yeah. So. Okay, so you want to chop some stuff for next year.
You're the wrong person to be talking to.
I
know.
I am the absolute wrong person to talk about this with.
Let's move on to the next. You know, actually, you should take this goal, and I think you should cut some stuff, right? Don't you think? You always add. Every year you add. Don't you think? When was the last thing you cut?
I don't know.
Yes.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. I feel like though I've gotten my office is embarrassingly messy right now. So the things that I cut are things that shouldn't be cut. Like I just stop opening mail, right? Like, that's one of the things that I'm like, you know what? I can't deal with mail today or for the next month and a half. And then all of a sudden I'm like, why are none of my bills getting paid?
Okay, I cut things that shouldn't be cut. For the audience. Like you once told me like, oh my God, I haven't opened these checks. I need to get to deposit. This is actually a lot of money.
Yeah, I know. It's bad. Yeah. So like I stop doing things that I probably shouldn't. Like when I call, it's not stuff that should be called. I'm like, I just won't call to make that doctor's appointment. It's like, that's too much work. So yeah, yesterday I literally was like, it was the last day to like switch your insurance plan with my like the type of like plan I had, and I was like, I have to do this. Like I've been putting it off for 6 weeks. Like I can't not, you know, get on the phone with somebody. So anyway, I'm not the right person to have this conversation.
Well, see, I think we just have fundamentally different personalities. Like I feel like you like to be busy all the time, like have stuff to do, right?
No, I don't. I've never
seen you just sit down and do nothing.
I don't know any other way. That's the thing. It's not that I like to be this way. It's just like for the past 30 years of my life, this is all I've known. So I don't really know what life is like in another, you know.
Yeah. I mean, okay. So that first half of the year when I was working hard, I actually liked it because it kind of reminded me of college again, where I always had stuff to do and I had this strict schedule where I had to get this done.
See, I think college was so easy compared to my life right now. I'm like, I would love to have 4 classes a week.
I worked way harder in college.
Oh, no. No. Yeah. I did not.
I was like sitting in the lab, not showered, eating like these Funyuns at 2 in the morning.
Eating a 3-day-old slice of Domino's.
Pulling all-nighters. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, we had different degrees. Political science doesn't take a lot out of you, let me tell you. It's like, I'll just read this book while I'm waiting in line. No, so now I don't know which.
I don't even know which
goal to talk about, because one is about adding, but one is about taking away. So,
well, taking away is never one of your goals.
So it is this next year.
Okay.
So one of the things that, so my work progression has gone through a lot of like roller coasters and things like that, as far as like what I've done, how many hours a week I work, things like that. And one of the things that I realized after I got divorced was that like, I didn't like weekends as much because there was like, I had to plan anything fun with the kids, which is actually probably not any different than it was before. But like, it felt worse to work on the weekends because like before, at least there was another parent there that it didn't feel as bad, I guess. But when I'm like the only parent and I'm working all weekend, and then it's like, oh, the kids, all the kids ever did was see me working. And they would like, they've made many comments about that. Like, you know, you're always on your computer, you're always working, things like that. And I'm like, well, y'all eat a lot. So, you know, I don't have a choice. But so I got better at like not working on the weekends because it just didn't feel right anymore. Like it felt like I needed to be available. And I actually enjoyed not working on the weekends. Now, to be fully honest, would I get up in the morning and work in my bed before they got up? Absolutely. But did they see that? No. So isn't that what matters? And I started to like having those days off. And then one of my good friends that I made kind of around the same time has like a really weird schedule where she like has like weeks where she works a lot and then she has weeks where she doesn't work a lot at all. And so she loves to go to this river by our house and just hang out and like play volleyball, talk to people, whatever. So I started sometimes on Friday afternoons going to the river basically with her. And I was like, this feels really good. Like it feels good to incorporate that time where I'm not even thinking about work, right? Just talking to people, hanging out, things like that. And so I want to be more diligent about that in 2024, like not working on the weekends. And I don't have the opportunity to work on the weekends in the spring anyway, because both our kids are in stuff, right? So like I'm at competitions every weekend anyway. But just like not working on the weekends, taking a half day on Friday and being like so productive Monday through Thursday that like taking the half day on Friday is not stressful. Right. Because sometimes I would do it and then I was like, well, I'm going to have to come home and like work Friday night because I didn't get the stuff done I needed to get done. So, yeah, that is one of my goals for 2024.
Go to the river.
Go to the river. Whatever. Okay. Go to Disney. Do whatever. Like, yeah. Hang out with my kids. I have adult kids that like they work weird schedules. So like they're available. Like my son is like available on Mondays. Right. Like that's his day off. So just having more time to do things with them.
So one of my goals, and I don't know if I can pull this off, but I want to hire a script writer for YouTube.
Interesting.
Right? So my biggest hurdle is it takes me about 90 minutes, sometimes less, sometimes more, to write a YouTube script from complete scratch. I think I've run out of posts that are YouTubeable at this point.
I was going to say, because you're probably at that point where you've used up all your blog posts.
Yeah, at least all the interesting ones that right. fit really well. So if I can just, and this is what Noah gave me this idea, Noah Kagan, mm-hmm. he doesn't do any of his own stuff.
That's like not surprising at all.
Like he literally just shows up yeah. and then, you know, he looks at it and then he just performs and then he's out of there.
Yeah.
That would be ideal. Because if I want to publish more videos, mm-hmm. I think it's probably sustainable to do 2 a week mm-hmm. if I'm writing the script. Anything more than that is unsustainable, I think.
Okay, but here's the thing that I would challenge you on is that you can 100% afford to do that today, but you're cheap.
I'm cheap, but I can pay because I'm making a lot of money off the channel.
That's what I'm saying to you is like you've got to give up some of that money. And that's very hard for you to do.
It is, but I've come around a lot. It just takes me a little longer, that's all.
Yeah. Yeah. I would definitely make that a priority for you.
Yeah.
Because I feel like you have the momentum, you know, so it's like you got to capitalize on that.
I just don't have the process in place to train someone like that. I don't even know how I would train them.
Yeah.
So here, watch these 300 videos.
Spend the next 3 months of your life watching me on YouTube.
Yeah. And I don't even know how much like I would pay for a service like that. I don't even know where to look.
Yeah.
It's not like looking for a writer, right? Is it? I don't know.
I mean,
do I go on the pro blogger job boards?
I don't know. I mean, where did Noah find his person?
He spends like an egregious amount of money on his channel.
Yeah, I'm sure.
So he goes and hires the best. So for example, like when he decided to publish a book,
Yeah.
He hired the guys that Ghost wrote Malcolm Gladwell's books, I think.
Okay.
And he just, you know, he's not trying to make money at all.
Yeah.
He just wants to build the audience.
Yeah.
And so I'm sure he just went up to his friends and said, who's the best scriptwriter, YouTube video person that you know?
So go to your friends and be like, who's like maybe third tier? Who's working the G League?
Okay, so the way I've always worked, and I don't know if this is the right way to do it, but I'll hire someone who's just eager and hardworking, and then I'll train them up. It takes forever to train them, but once they are trained up, they're good and they're, you know, inexpensive and loyal, right?
Yeah.
But this is something that I don't know how to even do that. I guess, it'll be a ton of work in the beginning.
Yeah. I think that's the hard part, because it's like you don't really even know how to train them to do it.
Yeah.
I mean, I would AI probably find job. Someone who writes scripts. Honestly, I'd probably find someone who writes scripts.
Yeah.
There's got to be
there was a place in the United States that was filled with actors and scriptwriters.
locally. There's only somewhere you could go. The people that have been on strike for a while and need extra money. I don't know. Where could that possibly be?
Yeah. So what if I can pull that off, I will be all powerful.
Yeah. Wizard of Oz 2025. Here we go.
Yes.
Okay. My last one, which contradicts my second to last one. So sort of circling back to my initial, like when Liz and I were talking last night and I was like, oh, I'm so upset that I didn't do a course sooner. Right. I'm so upset that I waited long on some of these things, which is like my number one regret is like, why did I wait so long to do XYZ? But speaking of the Jake and the creator hooks and the subject lines, I have all this data. I have all this information. I have all this experience with basically e-commerce email marketing, right? Like, because that's really what I've been doing the most of. Like, I've done email for my own stuff, but it's not been e-commerce related. It's just all relational, really. And I was like, what if I could put that into some sort of mini course? Not a full-blown, like, not a profitable audience level. Basically what I did with Liz. Right. Like, here's how you get set up. Here's like how to take the things that I do for people like one on one and like mass produce it. Right. Like, here's how you, these are what you need to do. These are the templates you need, blah, blah, blah. Turn it into a course and then basically focus on white labeling it to other people. Right. Because I have the credentials to do it. Right. I have the experience. I feel confident in like what I could provide. So anyway, that was literally my idea last night as I was talking to Liz. I was like, I probably need to do something like this next year. I know how to do a course. It's not hard. And I don't say that like to disrespect people that create courses, because we do. But like having done a couple now, it's like this is actually, if you just put your head down, you can get it done. And so it's not 100% set in stone because I just thought of it last night, but it's definitely on the table for next year.
I was just going to ask you actually to add all of your experiences that you did in creating the influencer course,
mm-hmm.
put that in profitable audience in a series of mini lectures.
Yes. Yeah, it will be. Yeah.
Or maybe you can even document this course, which I have this feeling you're going to do it, because you usually don't say something publicly.
Yeah.
Unless you're already going to do it. So this is going to happen.
Yeah.
Right.
So, well, I think like I've talked a little bit about creating the influencer course, and I've done a couple lessons in profitable audience about it. But I think the main point that I want to push to our folks in the class is that like, this is so doable. Like, it feels very overwhelming, I think, to most people, like, oh, create a course. That's like, I don't even know how to do that. I don't even know what platform, it's like, I feel like people get very overwhelmed at even the thought of it, but it's really... there's still availability. There's still room for people to do this. Like, I don't think it's definitely a saturated market, but if you have the right topic and the experience, you can do it. And it's not difficult to do. It's kind of like how people were afraid to write eBooks back in 2009. Right. And then Pro Blogger's like, I wrote an eBook in 15 minutes every morning for 3 months. And I made $30,000 a day at launch. And everyone's like, oh, let's write an eBook. Right. It's kind of the same thing with a course. It's like you can do this if you just chip away at it every day.
My former tennis instructor actually has been texting me for help on launching his new tennis course.
Oh yeah, you were helping him with that.
I was. It's just over the holidays. I don't have time to help him right now. But he hurt his hand, so we actually can't teach tennis right now. So this is like it's like a great opportunity for him to focus on working on this. Because before the injury, he was like, "Hey, whatever, I can just keep teaching," you know. But we're not getting any younger, and so now he has a kick in the butt to actually do it. And if he can do it, he's probably the least tech savvy person or that I've ever worked with.
Yeah,
I would say. And if he can do it, then I think anyone can do it. Well, I hope you enjoyed that episode. Now, for more information about this episode, go to profitableaudience.com/podcast, where we list all of the tools and resources mentioned in our show notes.
And if you enjoyed listening to this episode, please go to Apple Podcasts and leave us a review. When you write us a review, it not only makes our day, but it helps keep this podcast up in the ranks so other people can use this information, find the show more easily, and get some awesome business advice.
Leaving a review is by far the best way to support the show. And please tell your friends, because the greatest compliment that you can give us is to provide a referral to someone else, either in person or to share it on the web.
And if you're interested in building your own profitable audience, subscribe to our free 6-day mini course, where we walk you through the exact steps needed to find your niche, build a website, grab email subscribers, and monetize your content. You can sign up at profitableaudience.com/free.
Thanks for listening.